Good morning and welcome to worship. Is it not a beautiful Sunday? It's great to be with you. And if you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. I want to call your attention, highlight a few announcements. In your bulletin this morning, you've got an insert on the University of Faith, and there's a new class added, and be sure and note that. Also, at 12 o'clock today in the sanctuary, there will be training for the apartment outreach ministry. Chase will be walking you through the steps of how to do that. And then on the 28th at 2 o'clock, there will be the apartment canvassing. It's a great outreach for the church. There's information in your bulletin about that as well. As you can tell, as you look through the children's news and the youth, there's a lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another. What a joy.
Thank you.
faith this morning is the Nicene Creed, number 880 in your hymnal. It's also printed in your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Friends will come forward. All right, good morning. Good morning. Okay. Right there, I was about to turn to the choir. The Fall Festival is coming up, and so I was thinking about what we were going to have and what we were going to do, and I thought, you know, what if we could have someone create balloon animals? And then I thought, well, maybe I could do that. So I'm going to try for you this morning. You ready? Here we go. Okay, wouldn't that be a great snake? Okay. Let me try again. How about a worm? Would that work? No. Colin told me no. But you know what, as I was thinking about trying to shape these balloons, I was thinking that how God shapes our lives. If God is not in, or if I'm not in God's hands, he can shape me, or make, I can be, end up being a worm or a snake. But you know what, if you are in God's hands, he can shape you into whatever he wants you to be. And that is so exciting, because you don't really want to be a snake or a worm, but he is going to make you whatever you are into something wonderful. So as you get into the fall and you go and you get balloon animals and you play with Play-Doh or pottery or whatever, think about what God's going to shape you and how, what he's going to make you be. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for shaping me into something amazing. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in the bulletin. We have some updates. Josh McHughes is recovering nicely from surgery, and we Alan Curtis, Jim Curtis's brother, we add to our prayer list, has some serious health issues. We want to remember Alan over the next few days. And also, we celebrate with Bob and Marilyn Thompson on their 28th wedding anniversary yesterday. Also, this morning, as we ponder the potter and the clay, and you think about how God has molded us and shaped us, I want us to think about how our hands have touched other people in love, in anger, in sorrow, and in joy. And also think about and celebrate those people in our lives who have touched us and molded us and helped us become the people we are today. Let's go to God in prayer. Creator God, all creation is your handiwork. Your touch gives life to all. We see the majestic landscape and we're humbled and impressed. You are the potter. And with your strong yet gentle hands, you shape our lives. And may we in this celebration of worship today surrender more deeply to your loving touch as you fashion and form your heart's desire in us. And may we be mindful of those in our midst who are struggling, for whom it took strength and courage simply to come here today. And we pray that you touch the hearts of all who suffer. Take their hands so they know that they don't walk this journey alone through life. May they feel the warmth of your love that ignites hope that will enable them to endure the many hardships. We thank you, too, for all the blessings that you give to us, for those whose lives have touched ours. And we know, Lord, that we often get caught up in our own busy lives and we fail to see how we, too, can help others in their joy or in their pain. Give us the love and understanding that will allow us to reach out and help offer love and hope. And we pray today for this troubled world. God, soften the hearts of those who choose weapons to instead to speak words that can lead to reconciliation and peace. Oh, dear God, in you is a greater power than we can imagine. Encourage us to draw from that power. Give us the courage to leave our comfort zone and follow you. May we reach from deeper within ourselves and stretch out farther than we've ever dared to extend your love far beyond this church. Give us courage to proclaim the good news, to inspire future generations, and boldly step into a future becoming all you want us to be. Hear our prayers. Hear us as we pray as your Son taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. On Change the World Day, we made kits for the homeless, non-perishable food items. We've had many requests to continue that ministry, and our youth have made up the kits. They're available as you leave the sanctuary today or through the Wilson Activity Center. These kits are for those that you see on the roadside or encounter who need just a little something extra. So please feel free to take these food kits as you leave the sanctuary today. Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for your kindness to us. Many people have touched our lives. Our prayer is that through these gifts, may your love touch the lives of those who hurt today. And may your love be discovered fresh and new. May discouraged lives be filled with hope. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know I'm calling you to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Hymn 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
This morning, it's my pleasure to share with you from the Old Testament as we look to the prophecy of Jeremiah. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible or your own personal Bible, we're going to be reading from the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. May the people of God be touched by this hearing and reading of God's holy word as recorded in Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done?" says the Lord. "Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel." The word of God for the people of God. We are truly so blessed as we live in a state of Arkansas with such beauty. I mean, within a rock's throw, or certainly within a two-hour drive, we can find the most beautiful of streams, mountains, lakes, parks, zoo, almost anything you would want of beauty and of enjoyment, we have. We even have quite a bit of history in our state, as we know. The battlegrounds, we have beautiful architecture, antebellum homes, a diamond mine, oh yeah, and even a potter's house. When I was about 5 years old, in my hometown, the hometown of Kemark Pottery, I remember going on a field trip as a young, impressionable five-year-old. I remember walking into what seemed like a rather large building and being warned not to get too close to the red-hot kiln as we saw vessels being placed into the kiln to be fired up for use. And as each of us left, we were given a souvenir. I remember distinctively given a small pitcher with a matching bowl in a jade green color. My mother had a couple of pieces of Kemark pottery, mainly in hues of blue, and I suppose they're worth some value now as the pottery is no longer in existence. But as a fan of pottery, back in the 90s, Tony and I went up to the Mountain View to the Ozark Folk Center. And being that fan of pottery, I couldn't wait to get to the potter's wheel and just watch. I was reminded of the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah as he too longed to be at the potter's wheel. To watch the potter at the wheel is to witness a beautiful craft. I mean, if you think about it, at first when you see the finished bowls and jars and vases, you're just admire their beauty, their finished smooth glaze. And there they sit without a single flaw, hardened by the fire to be used in the finest of homes. The next thing, however, when I was there that day at the potter's house, is what caught my eye were the vessels and jars which had not yet gone to the kiln, but they had been approved by the potter for that purpose. I found myself mesmerized as I watched the potter at the wheel began their work, dipping their hand into the bag of clay as if they were hand-picking a particular lump of clay, placing it then on the wheel, dipping their hand into the water, and sprinkling the clay like a good Methodist. And began to pound the lump of clay, almost as if a batch of dough. kneading and twisting and pulling apart and pushing back together again. I watched her pound it and roll it out, and then wetting her hands again to turn the wheel as she began to pump the pedal at her feet in order to spin the wheel. From that round lump of clay through this lady's gentle, skilled, and guiding hands, I saw a vessel come to life before my eyes. Watching the potter make the vase and seeing its beauty, I felt this strong urge to have it. Why, I had witnessed its birth. But then, suddenly, the potter stopped the wheel. Those skilled, gentle hands had detected a flaw. As the hands turned with the wheel and felt the clay with each turn, at the stopping of the wheel, she broke out just the section where she had detected the flaw and discarded it and put it in the pile of clay. An imperfection detected by the potter, knowing that had that vessel gone to the kiln with that flaw, it would have been disastrous. It would have shattered. It would have broken. The only thing to do was to break it out and begin it again. And I had a life lesson there. The potter didn't discard the whole work, but simply just removed the flaw. Kneading the remaining clay, twisting it, pushing it, adding a bit of water again, the process started all over. And this time, shaping it again into what was a perfect vessel. Yes, now ready for the fire, so that it could be used for the master's service. We read just a moment ago the prophecy of Jeremiah. As he was at the potter's wheel with a vision of the ways of God. God wanted Israel, don't you see, to be a perfect and obedient people. Not what he saw they had become. Self-centered, prideful, disobedient. They were, as a result of that behavior, a rather broken and beaten people, much like the lump, don't you see, of the clay at the potter's wheel. I think this is what happens to you and me as we live out our lives. We have our moments of disobedience. We have our moments when we don't reflect anything of Christ's nature. You and I are flawed. Probably don't need anyone to tell us we are. We find ourselves at some moment in our journey in trouble. And we begin to worry. And we look around and we see others living lives that are happy and productive and faithful. And we see that perhaps at one moment they were in the spot that we were. They were troubled. They were hurting. They needed help and didn't feel much hope for that help. And we look at their lives knowing that they too have had a bump in the road here and there. And we see how God has reshaped and reworked them. And we desire it so very much for ourselves. Over and over again, as a United Methodist ordained elder in the conference, I've been appointed to churches. I don't campaign or request for a particular church. I just hold my appointment in trust. I have to trust The bishop wants what's best for the church I am being sent and for the church in which I am leaving. I have to hope and believe the cabinet and the bishop want what's best for my ministry, understand who I am as an individual and as a minister. I have to trust the Holy Spirit will be vibrant, alive, and active in the process of making the appointment. And each time I hope that I will be of service in the Master's hand for the Master's plan. So when I get to a church, any church, I go with the hope that there is at least one life which I can impact, that they might see Christ, feel Christ, experience Christ, the need for Christ like they never have before. I have to believe that there's at least one individual in which I can reach that perhaps no other pastor has ever done so. I have to believe when I go to that church that perhaps there's a person in that church that's going to help me in the development of my ministry like none other has ever before. You see, in both cases, the Holy Spirit is relied upon, is needed, and must be trusted. As a pastor, people come into my office from time to time to share their worries and their concerns. So often, there's that big word that we all use at times, why? Why are my dreams broken? Why can I not seem to be happy? Why didn't I see that coming toward me like a freight train? Why? Why do so many things seem to just go down in my life? I think part of the answer to these questions and more for all of us can be found at the potter's wheel. If a lump in the clay is too thin or bears some inconsistency that will be disastrous and cause the vessel to break under fire, then the wise potter does not overlook it. The imperfect vessel will be corrected. Because the second thing I want to talk to you about today is the vessel. While I was finishing my final year of academics at SMU, getting my Master's of Divinity, I've shared with you before that the first couple of years I was still single, was laying out a while after those 2 years were over to pay for the costs of seminary. Met Tony, we married, and then about in the second year of our marriage, I was determined to finish my master's and commuted to Dallas, Texas for 38 weeks. There was a couple that when I was single, I had befriended because I was taking care of their mother when they would go on a trip and just take care of the house and see about their elderly mother. Well, some 15 years later, it was their turn to need some assistance. And what they had done was they were a very benevolent couple. And from time to time, they took in individuals who were pursuing their education and enabling them not to have to pay for housing costs. And they allowed me to do that for that year of commuting. So I went there for my classes, my tests and such, and came home on the weekends. And while I was there, of course, I think I was of help to them to run an errand or two, or perhaps even screw in a light bulb for them. But they were a wonderful, wonderful couple. The older woman's name was Ruby. She was the retired assistant superintendent of the Dallas Public School System. Her husband, M.B., was retired oil catter from West Texas. But again, they had this rich life. And I don't mean in wealth. I mean just rich in abundance of knowledge, of caring. And in Ruby's education, she had grown to have a keen sense and appreciation for art, especially primitive art. And on the shelves in their living room, they had these wonderful figurines of primitive art made of adobe clay, some of which dated back before the time of Christ. And I've got to tell you, they weren't particularly attractive. In fact, if I ever needed to go to the kitchen at night to get a drink of water and the house was dark, I could just see them following me. It was a little spooky. One day, just the two of us, I sat down and visited with Ruby, and curiosity got the best of me, and I said, "Hey, Ruby, what's up with all of that? Talk to me. Why are these so important to you?" And she said, "Oh, that's easy." She said, "I can see these pieces representing the creative expressions of the struggle of the people as they're working the clay. But more than that, I can see through these creative expressions, this art, the tremendous struggle they endured in the conditions in which they were living." And I knew, growing up as a poor prairie girl and from a poor prairie family, that Ruby was relating to that kind of struggle. At her response, my mind immediately drifted back to the words of the hymn that we just sang. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." You see, don't you see? We are the vessels created by God, in the image of God, to hold the breath of God, to do the will of God. Without the faith, however, the vessel, the clay, is nothing. Go ask, as you look at the story of the blind man. Remember? Jesus anointed his eyes with clay and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the fellow went, and he came back, and he showed that he had been healed. He had been healed. And yet, we understand that it wasn't the clay which healed him. It was his faith to follow in obedience to Christ's instruction that healed him. Without faith, like the blind man, nothing changes. We can do nothing. I'm not sure that we are anything without faith. So we're called to be a holy people. We're called to be pure. We're called to be that vessel worthy of bearing the image of God, worthy of bearing the Spirit of Christ. And yet the irony of it, we're called to be pure, and yet at the same time, Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world." And you know what he means? He means get your hands dirty. I'll close in this. Our younger daughter, Kara, from the time she was a wee tot, was just simply a dirt magnet. In every sense of the word. I think it's because Tony pointed to my body for 9 months and said, "Please, Lord, a boy." She once sat down in what she saw as a lovely, perfectly shaped mound of dirt and began to play. And seconds later, we heard the screams. It was a nice South Arkansas fire ant hill. But that didn't stop her dirt playing days. She once decided that she was going to build the world and have a bakery full of mud pies, and the bakery would look like a castle. And so she would perfect, don't you see, this art from time to time. Well, on one October night, it was time for the charge conference. You're laughing, you don't even know what's coming. But you do, because you're a mother. Okay, so it was time for the charge conference, and I had spent all day basically cleaning the house and instructing Tony how to cook the meal. Now, that's the funny part. getting the girls all dressed up in their Sunday best with matching hair bows, no doubt, and instructing them how one behaves in front of the district superintendent. The time came. The doorbell rang. I said, "Girls, come, let's meet our guest." Katie ran into the room, and I immediately said, "Where's your sister?" We opened the door, and there was Kara holding the hand of the district superintendent with dirt completely from head to toe. And in his other hand was a mud pie. And he began to explain to me that as he was getting out of the car, Kara ran to him and said, "Here, I made this for you. Now eat." He accepted it ever so graciously and said, "You know, I believe I'll save it for dessert." Which, ironically, he had no room for, because he purposely ate at least 3 helpings that night of the entree so that he could honestly say to this impressionable little, very little girl, "You know, I'm just so stuffed. I'm going to take it home and have it then." Like the mud pie, we too are fully accepted, graciously made with all the love and care of our Creator. A mud pie, you and me. But you know, our Lord Jesus can take the loveliest or unloveliest, the cleanest or the dirtiest, the most extraordinary or the most ordinary of any of us, and make a beautiful, functioning masterpiece of our lives. Folks, our time has arrived. We are the clay in the potter's hands. We shall not be abandoned or thrown away or discarded by our loving God, no matter what. That's the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God. God is refining us all the time, reshaping us, reforming us, restructuring us, rejuvenating us, shaping us for our ministry, for His will. That's our purpose. But like the clay, it simply won't happen unless we are pliable and flexible and willing to be submissive at the potter's wheel. Will you trust God this week as you submit yourself, flaws and all, to allow Him to reshape whatever it is in whatever area of your life so that you too might be created to live in the finest in our Master's house? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is "Something Beautiful." 394, we'll be singing this twice. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, would like to profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would like to renew that faith, would like to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do so at this time as we stand and sing. 394. church. And next Sunday after church, we're going to be doing some apartment visitation. This has been a mission and dream of the church for a while, to touch the lives of others, giving them the love of Christ. So please note the time that we will be gathering to do that. And I hope your heart will impress upon you to go forward with the Great Commission. Go ye into the world and give Christ to all we meet. Let us receive the blessing. And now, God, we thank you that you have created us in your image to hold your Holy Spirit and to share that Spirit with all we meet. May we do so this day and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.